From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love We're Finding. Carrie, today, Adrian Rogers picks up part two on a message, how to make the rest day the best day.
Don't you love the fact that Jesus always modeled, you know, he always modeled what to do. And here we see that God himself rested on the seventh day. You know, Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught us how to serve. He taught us how to love our neighbor. But here in Exodus, in the Old Testament, we see God teaches us and demonstrates for us how to rest on the best day.
Well, you know, Carrie, in this age of advanced technology to save time and energy, we are quite a hurried and restless people plagued by speed and noise. I read this article recently that states 70% of visits to the doctor are due to stress-related health issues. Rest is the only way to engage the part of our nervous system that allows for relaxation. It is literally a vital thing for our physical and mental health, and God knew it.
Well, sure, we think about, hey, we must eat right, we must exercise. We never think about rest and what God can do as we rest and we rest in Him. Dr. Rogers used to say on Sunday nights, when you go home tonight, rest your head on the pillow and know that he that watches Israel never slumbers nor sleeps.
You know, those are my kids' favorite memories of Adrian Rogers.
Wasn't that great?
They still talk about that. Well, we love hearing from our listeners. Here's one from Facebook that says, Adrian Rogers could say more in 5 minutes than most preachers could in 45 minutes. We need more of this in our generation. We need a word from God.
Well, it was profound truth simply stated. And so Isaiah 55:11 says this, my word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper wherever I send it. So Adrian Rogers knew that the word of God would not return void, and everything he did was on the basis of the truth.
Well, Carrie, today's message is part of a series, Perfect 10 for Homes That Win. And Adrian Rogers talks about the Ten Commandments in our lives.
Let me say that the Ten Commandments certainly are not outdated. As a matter of fact, there is a crying need, if ever there was before, for the Ten Commandments today. These commandments transcend every generation, and they deal truly with every human need. And I cannot emphasize enough that we need to return to God's laws. We don't really break the Ten Commandments. The truth of the matter is, we're broken on them.
What a strong word. What a strong word. You know, and I think that's the key, right? Are we truly living out the Ten Commandments? And I know as a believer we're not under the law, but are we keeping the law? That's the question.
Yeah, and I heard it said, Carrie, that if we would just abide by the Ten Commandments alone, it would change our whole society.
Well, yeah, the Ten Commandments, and then, you know, the two greatest commandments, to love God and love people.
Yes.
If we just did those things, you would actually live and experience the Spirit-filled life.
Well, this month, Carrie, as we talk about the Ten Commandments, we have a calligraphy print of the Ten Commandments, and that particular print has been requested quite a bit.
Quite a bit. We have it framed here at the headquarters. Beautiful. And so be sure to get your copy. I think it plays into the whole Giving Tuesday that we've been pushing, where you give $15 to Love Worth Finding, and we make sure that these life-changing and life-giving gifts go across the country to our people.
Yes. And let me remind you, too, to pick up on our LWF app. It's a great resource. You can get that information at lwf.org. Well, with part two of How to Make the Rest Day the Best Day, here's Adrian Rogers.
Now, God gave the Old Testament Sabbath to Israel. It was a wonderful gift to them. God has given to us something even better. It is the Lord's Day, which is the transformation of the Sabbath into something even more wonderful, and it is a fulfillment of the Sabbath. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But you, as a Christian family, have been given a day, and if you use it properly and enjoy it as you should, it will be one of the best treasures, the richest treasures, in your treasure chest of family values. Now, the very word Sabbath means rest. Now, there are three primary rest days. Now, get this. If you get this, you'll keep your traces straight. First of all, there's the creation rest. Secondly, there's the covenant rest. And thirdly, there's the Calvary rest. Got them? Now let me explain to you. What is the creation rest? Well, when God created the world, when He had finished creating the world in 6 days, then He rested. But listen to this. God's rest has been disturbed. God has been interrupted. What disturbed God's rest and put God back to work? Sin. Did you know that God's rest has been interrupted? God's rest had been disturbed. The rest of God's first creation has been disturbed. But there was creation rest. The second rest is the covenant rest. The creation rest, that pertained to God Almighty. The covenant rest, that pertains to the nation Israel. When God had a special people, the Jews, God gave them a special day, and it was the seventh day rest, the last day of the week. God gave the Old Testament seventh day Sabbath to the Jew. It was a covenant between God and the children of Israel. But they so contorted it that they made it what was to be a blessing, a burden. Now here's the third rest, and this is what applies to you. Remember, the word Sabbath means rest. There is Calvary rest. That's the fulfillment of the Sabbath for us, and that's how we apply this command to us today. And now, the Lord Jesus is our finished rest. This is why we celebrate the first day of the week, because Jesus burst asunder the bonds of death and came out of that grave upon the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Jesus rose from the dead the first day of the week, Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week. Fact number two, Jesus met with His disciples after His resurrection on the first day of the week, Mark 16:11. Jesus met with them 8 days later upon the first day of the week, John 20:19-20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. The church was born on the first day of the week. The day of Pentecost was on Sunday, the first day of the week, Acts 2:1. The early church met for worship upon the first day of the week, Acts 20:7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. On the first day of the week, they took their offerings, 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. There was the creation rest, there was the covenant rest, but thank God, hallelujah, for the Calvary rest. When Jesus said, it is finished, it is paid in full. What is the difference? The first, the covenant Sabbath, speaks of the finished work of creation. The believer's rest speaks of the finished work of redemption. The first deals with natural life. Ours deals with supernatural life. The first dealt with life in Adam. Ours deals with life in Christ. The first commemorated the work of God's hands. This commemorates the work of God's heart. The first was a display of God's power. This is a display of God's grace. The first was given to Israel. This is given to the church. The first was a day of law. This is a day of love. And those who insist on keeping the Old Testament covenant rest are on the wrong side of Calvary. They're still chasing shadows. Now, I hope you understand that. So Jesus is saying, come unto me and I'll give you rest. If we're not under those Old Testament laws of the Sabbath, how do we then keep the Lord's Day? What are the laws? What are the regulations for keeping the first day of the week? I cannot give you any rules because the Bible does not give any. Hello? The Bible doesn't give any. Now be careful that you don't try to take the Old Testament rules concerning the Sabbath and apply them to Sunday, the Lord's Day, because if you do, you get in trouble in a skinny minute, because you're going to find out that you're going to be breaking the Old Testament Sabbath every time you turn around that covenant Sabbath with Israel. That doesn't mean that we've jettisoned the Ten Commandments that say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is, we simply see it in its ultimate fulfillment as it applies to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a holy day? Absolutely, it's a holy day, the Lord's day, because it is the Lord's day. But it's a day of love and not legalism. Pastor, is it all right to watch television on Sunday? Is it all right to go to a ball game on Sunday? Is it all right to read the newspaper on Sunday? Could I play softball on Sunday? Could I go out on a boat, in a boat on Sunday? Could I go to the grocery store if we're out of milk on Sunday? Good questions. You know the only thing wrong with those questions? You ask the wrong man. It's not my day. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. Ask Him, Lord, how can I honor You on this day? How can I take this day and give You glory and give You reverence and give You praise so at the end of that day I'll say, Lord, that was Your day? I know what some of you are going to say. Well, Pastor, every day is a holy day with me. Yeah, that's true. But the Lord's day is extra special. Now, we're to pray without ceasing, but Jesus said also, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray. That's extra special. We know that all of our possessions belong to God, but He also says, bring your offering to God on the first day of the week. That's extra special. When we bring our offerings, that's a token that all of it belongs to God. And when we keep the Lord's day, that's a token that every day belongs to God. Yes, every day is a holy day. And every place is a sacred place, but yet He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, in our remaining time, I want to give you three principles to help you to keep what I consider to be a wonderful Lord's Day. Here are three things I want to suggest to moms and dads that God will give to you to make your home a home that wins as you keep the Lord's Day. We say, time out for God. How to make the rest day the best day. Now, you ought to make this day a holy day, a healthy day, and a happy day. You got it? If you keep those words in mind, make this day, the Lord's day, a holy day, make it a healthy day, and make it a happy day as you take time out for God. Now, take time to be holy and worship on the Lord's day. Now, the Bible commands New Testament Christians to come together to worship. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not to do it. We are commanded to come as brothers and sisters to worship. Now, when do we do it? The early church did it on the first day of the week. Remember Acts chapter 20, upon the first day of the week when the disciples were met together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So on every Lord's Day, set aside time to come to church and worship. One of the best things you can do is to make church attendance on the Lord's Day a regular habit in your home. Little eyes are watching, little ears are listening. Psalm 145 verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Isaiah 38 verse 19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. Dads, make church attendance the highest priority. More important than your work on Monday, your worship on Sunday. Do you know what you say to your children when you don't make church attendance a regular habit? You're saying, well, that's nice, but it's not a necessity. Now, when I go to work, hey, that's important. Teach your children what is important. And when you get up and go to worship on the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day, do you know what you're saying to your children? You're saying, God is important to me. My church is important to me. And these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are important to me. And when you take time out for God, take time out to be holy. And it's not necessarily easy. Pay the price. How can you teach your children to love the Lord's Day? I discussed this with Joyce. We thought about it, and How have we tried to teach our children? Number one, with anticipation. Start getting ready on Saturday for Sunday. The evening and the morning are the first day. Your day begins at sunset. So save Saturday nights to get ready for the Lord's Day. Get your shoes polished Saturday night. Get those clothes laid out Saturday night. Find the Sunday school lesson. Go over the lesson Saturday night. Get the offering out on Saturday night and have it ready. So, you know, Sunday mornings can be frenetic. Say amen. It's harder to get ready for Sunday school than it is for regular school. You have to get ready. And husbands, Joyce told me to say this part. Husbands, help get the children ready. I heard about one woman who said to her husband, look, if you come in here and help get the kids ready, I'll go out, sit in the car, and honk the horn. Now, but have a nice breakfast on Sunday morning. Have time for special prayer for the services and the Sunday school teachers and so forth. Give your children a special offering so when they come to church, they are giving something, not something you gave them to give, but something they earned or something out of their own allowance. Be positive about church. Parents, please listen to me. Say a good word about the church before your children. Don't criticize the church before your children. If you have a word of criticism, say it at the right time, the right spirit, to the right person. You know why some kids don't go to church? Because the parents never set a priority. They never really get ready. And then you know what they have for dinner? Roast preacher, a roast deacon, a roast choir director. And they begin to talk about these kind of things. Oh, friends, bring your children to church and your teenagers and when you sing, let them see you sing. Encourage them to sing. Get them a Bible they can read. Take your school-age children. Teach them how to make notes and to keep their notes. Discuss these things in the house of God. Make church attendance a very wonderful and a happy thing. Take time to be holy. Number two, take time to be healthy. Rest on this day. Now, you need to teach children to work because this commandment not only tells us to rest in the Old Testament, but it tells us to work. And while the ceremonial part may be gone, the principle is still there. 6 days shalt thou work. What we need to do is to teach not only industry, but teach children tranquility. Take the Lord's Day and rest. Take a nap on the Lord's Day. It's one of the finest things you can do is just simply go take a nap. I like what a French philosopher said. He said, I have so much to do, I must go to bed. You say, well, the ox keeps falling in the ditch. Well, maybe you need to kill the ox or fill up the ditch. Arrange your life if you can. I'm not trying to give you a rule, but I'm trying to give you a principle. Make this day a holy day. Make this day a healthy day. You will do more in 6 days if you learn to rest one than you do in 7 days without resting. You will. Just like you'll have more money to spend with 9/10 as God as a partner than you'll have with 10/10 by yourself. Slow down. Take a day. Let it be the Lord's Day, but it's made for you. And rest. If a man's chopping wood, he doesn't waste time when he sharpens the axe. You chop more wood if you learn how to make this day a holy day, make it a healthy day. Last of all, make it a happy day. I believe Sunday ought to be the happiest day of the week. You know why the early church met on Sunday? Because Jesus came out of that grave on Sunday. I'm going to say this to you, that after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's not a pessimistic or negative note in the New Testament after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a celebration. It's a joy. Every Lord's Day is Easter. Now, we get all happy about Easter. Friend, we ought to come in here with the light of the noonday sun on our faces every Lord's Day. He's alive. He's risen. We rejoice. And take this day and worship on this day. Take this day and rest on this day. Take this day and rejoice on this day. It is the Lord's day. This is the day which the Lord hath made, a day of gladness, not of gloom, of love, not legalism. So let there be joy in your home today. What happened to old-fashioned Sunday dinners where the family gets together and they have dinner and they laugh and they talk and they love? Take this day for music and books and conversation. Well, I wish I had more time. But friend, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember it not as a day of legalism that God gave to the Jews so long ago. Listen to me now. Remember it as a day of liberty, where Jesus has set us free, not free to do our thing, but free to do His thing. May I have your attention? All of this will mean absolutely nothing to you unless you understand the truth behind it, that Jesus is your rest. You must come to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Now notice what He said. Come. It's your move. It's your move. It's your move right now. Jesus says, come. You're not waiting on Him. He's already invited you. Come unto me, not to Pastor Rogers, not to some denomination. Come unto me. Not when you are ready and rested already, but come as you are, weak and weary and worn and tired. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to wait till you go to heaven to find rest. And it takes more than a tombstone to bring rest. Sometimes put on a tombstone, rest in peace. There won't be any peace until you find peace in the Lord Jesus. Just as there is the righteousness of God and the peace of God, there's the rest of God. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could give my heart to Jesus on your behalf. I wish somehow I could sit out there and pray on your behalf and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Now, Lord Jesus, I'm going to make you public. I'm going to let people know that I love you. I'm going to come forward today. I wish I could do that for you, but I can't. I've preached as best I know how. But now it's your decision. And Jesus is saying to you right now, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If you're tired of trying, why don't you start trusting? If you're tired of laboring and trying to be right with God and failing, why don't you just come to Jesus and give it to Jesus and enter into rest? I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, if you'll trust Jesus Christ today, you'll find rest unto your soul. I've come to Jesus, and He gave me rest, and He'll give you rest.
Perhaps today is the day that you want to say yes to Jesus. You've been waiting, you've been holding back, but you want to enter into that eternal rest that Pastor Rogers just talked about. Pray with me now. Oh God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin separates me from you, but Jesus came to live a holy life and give Himself for me. He died in my place. I believe that. And now I want to receive the forgiveness that you're offering me in Him. I ask you to come into my life, change me from the inside out, make me a new creation in you, and help me to follow you from this day forward, empowered by your Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed a prayer like that, if you have received the forgiveness that God has offered you, we want to celebrate with you and invite you to our Discover Jesus page on the website. You'll find answers that may come up in the next few days about what it really means to follow Christ. There's a response section as well. If you've been traveling this road for a long time and you've never reached out to us, go to the Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. I know it will encourage you. But if you've prayed that prayer with me, welcome to God's forever family. Let us hear from you today. Well, thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. Remember the Lord's Day as a day of liberty when Jesus set us free. Make it a holy, healthy, and happy day. And be sure to join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding.